Blog Talk Radio.
Go! Go for it! Hello, everybody, and welcome to Go For It. I'm your host, Paul Gann, alongside Jeremy Espy. And for the next hour, we're going to be talking sports and having fun. I'm sorry, you said hey?
Of course I said hey. Understand you're a little under the weather. Thank God we didn't have to hear more of that singing.
I'm a soldier, you know, and I'm going to battle through, and I'm going to do what I got to do. And for the next hour, we're going to be talking sports and having fun. I want all your opinions, your ideas, and your beliefs. And, of course, you're going to get a heavy dose of our opinions. The number to call is 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the owner button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It under the category of sports. And you can hit us up on email. You can send emails to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. Good to have all you guys here today. Hope you're listening. We want your calls. We want your ideas. And, of course, we want all your beliefs. We want everything today. Bring it. Bring it. Bring it. Bring it. Go for it. Just go for it. Now, funny situation. Well, not a funny situation. Situation here in the Philadelphia area. Last Monday, we had a fan, 72-year-old fan, run onto the field. But something funny, not funny, but something happened along the way as he ran on the field, running around, you know, like fans do from time to time. Stupid, but it happened. This happened at Citizens Bank Park. A young man ran on the field. And, you know, judging, this is actually the first time it happened here in Philadelphia. A fan was actually tasered. Yes, he was tasered. He was tasered. He stepped on the field, and he got tasered.
Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me. I said don't tase me.
No, he didn't say that, but maybe he said that. But he was tased. And funny part about it, actually, Governor Rendell, Governor Edward G. Rendell, the governor of Pennsylvania, called it a mistake. I don't call it a mistake. I call it getting what you deserve. You step inside those lines, all bets are off. Especially in this post-9/11 world we live in. I don't know, and we don't know what this guy may have. We don't know. You may know. I don't know. So when you step onto that field, guess what? Whatever happens, happens. I got no sympathy for you, man. You got what you deserved.
Paul, forgetting about sympathy, you bring up a, you know, I have to start with a question, which is you term post 9/11. I mean, and I think we have to also put in perspective, you know, 9/11 was almost 10 years ago. I mean, it was a long time, it was in the past, and pre 9/11, are you now saying it's acceptable to run on the field just because of 9/11? I think, when was this acceptable? Was it acceptable before 9/11?
It hasn't been acceptable, but in a lot of ways it's been overlooked and overshadowed, and it's just like, okay, he ran on the field. Security, grip him up, take him off the field, and let it be done with him. But to me, in this stage of the game, when you have guys running onto the field, something has to be done. And you know, whether that's getting a taser or what have you, because we don't know what this man has. You assume that he has nothing. You assume he's just running around having a good time, you know, just running on the field. Just doing,
I mean, but when you find out who it is, though, Paul, but when you find out who it is, and the fact he's 7 years old, which means he's a minor, you find out the fact that he calls his father innings before this. I mean, isn't at some point, aren't we as a society, don't we want to look at this event, even in and of itself, and take a harder look and say, there's something wrong here, that, you know, that we're not as a public outraged and saying, not only should he have been tasered, but, I mean, we really need to recognize that there was a criminal act that was violated here, and, you know, this is premeditated, and we need to now, you know, handle this with the, you know, the fullest extent of the law.
Now,
it's not
I
about
really
showing an example. It's not about even. I've been hearing like the last week. It's I'm sick in my stomach. Well, you know, it was it was funny. It was, we're making excuses, and then they say, well, I hear this term too. The full extent of the law. I mean, whatever now to me happens. He needs to, and everyone, not just in the city of Philadelphia, but in the country, needs to understand, it gets back to the larger picture of when you commit a crime, you need to remember that there are consequences to this. And especially when you do something that puts not just his life in jeopardy or the players' lives in jeopardy, there's people forget there's 44,000 fans there that night. I mean, who knows what these, you know, I do bring in 9/11 in a post 9/11 era where 2 weeks before that or a week before that there's a bomb in Midtown Manhattan. I just don't think that people conceptualize this wasn't funny. This was sad.
Nothing funny about running on the field and acting a fool. And as far as I'm concerned, man, you got what you deserved. And if I was out there and I had a taser, I would have shot you too.
Well, what bothers me more than what bothered me worse than that, and this whole like the young children.
Governor said it was a mistake. The governor said he shouldn't have got tased.
And not only that, his parents said it was a mistake, and they, you know, that, and we had to have the police commissioner say, you know, publicly say that the police acted in the proper protocol. I mean, for the governor to say that, well, but given the fact that our governor, the governor in the state of Pennsylvania, finds it more important to be on a TV show than, you know, helping this state move forward, says enough about Rendell. But the fact that we're calling the police actions into question when a man was committing a crime and simply all they did is restrain him.
Let me stop you for a second here. I mean, there are times when we do have to call the police's action into question. From time to time, we're going to have to do that. But in this particular situation, we don't. And you're right, we don't.
But Paul, there's video of this. This should have been broadcasted as, instead of, you know, you should laud the police's efforts here. This was documented almost in real time, and you watched. They chased him around for a couple of minutes. I mean, they should have tased him right away. This went on.
I will say this. Do I think that individual was a threat? No, I don't.
No, you think that post, Paul, you think that post incident. Please keep in mind, again, you could say that now, but if he'd ran on the field and he would have had a gun or he had a bomb, we wouldn't be talking about this today.
And I agree. I mean,
they're coming down the FBI, they're coming down the TSA because they couldn't find this, you know, the gentleman with the bomb, and it only took him 50 hours, and we're saying that's not good enough. The police lost him. Here we're, you know, it's like in this country, it's almost, this mentality of, well, everybody wants to have their cake and eat it too. You want to say that the guy was just enjoying himself. His own parents come out and don't want to take responsibility for their child. In fact, they want the police to be responsible. They shouldn't have tasered him. I mean, the parents should be brought up on charges.
Well, I'm not going to go as far to bring the parents up on charges. I mean, the boy is 17 years old, and I refuse to give the boy's name. But in a lot of ways, you know, his parents, if they really want to sit down and look at this thing, and, you know, we do live in a litigious society, so, you know, some people want to, you know, you may have individuals who want to make a little money off of this. But at the end of the day, this guy got what he deserved. And I have no sympathy for him. I have no sympathy for his parents. And to me, it's a kudos to the Police Department of Philadelphia. Job well done. You did your job, and your job is to protect and serve. Serve and protect. And you served and you protected the interests of many fans. You protected the Victorinos, the Jason Wirths of the world, the Raul Ibanez of the world, the outfield. You protected those guys from what could have been a dangerous situation. And I give you a lot of credit, and I give you a lot of respect for what you did. I want to give you the comments that Rendell said. He stated that there's no need to use tasers on fans who run on the field. We should just have enough personnel out there to surround them. Take them off the field and put them in jail. Those are the words of Governor Edward G. Rendell, Governor of Pennsylvania.
And the thing, Paul, the one thing, there's two points, I think, in all of this that really can, they ear me to no extent. One is even the fact that we have spent time talking about, and in a way, all of the media glorifies, this immature act by, I'm going to tell you, no matter, and to me, this is a troubled young man, because if he's seeking this much attention, there's something wrong at home. And the other thing is the fact that a governor who's
I want to stop you. Can I stop you for 1 second? I mean, I'm not going to take it that far to say this man needs
Paul, anybody that's seeking...
It could be just a youthful indiscretion. I mean, in a lot of ways, we're not entitled to that, but in a lot of ways, it's expected. Now, with those youthful indiscretions, there are consequences. Tasing is one of the consequences.
You want to egg somebody's house? That's a youthful indiscretion. You want to throw rocks at a car? Youthful indiscretion. You want to shoplift from the CVS? Youthful indiscretion. You want to run out on the field?
A Phillies game? Youthful indiscretion.
It's, no, you know what it is? It's not. When you have 44,000... Is that so? Then can 44,000 people do that? No, that's a stampede. I think that again, when one person
let's keep it here. It was only one person. It was only one, but it could have been more. You're right.
Well, now, but what happened the night after, Paul?
Another one.
Yeah, and then I'm sure in a couple of days, in a couple of weeks, it we're accentuating the act of one, and again, then this. Because we're dealing with immature people. This wasn't, a grown man. This is a 17-year-old boy, if you will, who now is going to get caught up in...
He is a year away from becoming a man.
Well, let's hope the law, and the prosecutors in this city see it that way. I think far too often we're not recognizing how dangerous this is in terms of an advertising sense. This is thrown right on YouTube, and it was uploaded within hours. It becomes one of the most watched events on YouTube. You're giving ideas, and you're giving praise to the thoughts of a very immature mind.
With no
consequence.
I would also go back to an incident that happened in, it was 2003, where you had the malice at the palace, as they call it, Ron Artest and the Pacers against the Pistons, where they had a situation where Artest ran into the stands and it caused a big melee. And you had individuals, fans, running onto the court. And when they ran onto the court, you had guys like Artest, who was punching some, and Jermaine O'Neal, who was doing some things. And at the time, I mean, it was my opinion back then where I didn't have any granted, you can't have guys running into the stands. You can't have them running into the stands. It's a definite no-no. It could cause big issues and big problems. But my issue is with the fans in a lot of ways. Again, once you step across those lines, all bets are off. So if you step across those lines and step into a guy like a 6'10 Jermaine O'Neal or a 6'7 Ron Artest, you're going to get what you deserve in a lot of ways. You've asked for it. And that's the way I kind of look at this situation. You get what you deserve. You asked for it.
But the question becomes, again, Paul, I mean, and you had raised this too, is, I mean, and we're looking at this, and Governor Rendell is saying he shouldn't have been tased, and we're looking at the police behavior instead of looking at the actual incident and, saying this behavior is unacceptable, whether it's 17 years old, 27 years old, 37 years old, whatever age it is, the behavior in and of itself is the problem. And especially, I have a big problem with the governor going out and saying that, he didn't need to be tased, because I guess my question is, if he doesn't need to be tased, then why does the governor need a team of security that we as taxpayers are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on? I mean, no, he did need to be tased, because if he would have done something to harm someone, then where would we be spending more tax dollars? I think we're too often able to glorify, again, I'll go back to acts of immature young children. And and because of the multimedia forums, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, I mean, it puts these people on pedestals, but not just on pedestals, on real-time pedestals. You can upload it to Skype. It's boundless, you know, how glorified this young man looks, instead of people shaming him and saying, you know, but you wasted a half hour of game time, and I came to here to see a baseball game, not you acting like a buffoon.
And, you're not getting an argument from me here. I mean, you know, you get what you deserve when you cross those lines. And it doesn't get any more simpler than that. And I'm equally as bothered by Rendell's statements. I think those are statements that should not have been made public. Those are statements that you bring privately to the police force. You don't put that out publicly because, in some respect, you undermine their job.
The commissioner? Sure.
And the commissioner supported his guy in that particular situation. Governor Rendell shouldn't be making those comments. I have a problem with him making those comments. And because, again, like you stated, if this guy would have did something dangerous, if this guy would have did something crazy, we'd be talking a whole different tune now. What's going on with the security at Citizens Bank Park? What's going on with the police force at Citizens Bank Park? What's going on there? How come they're not doing their job? This shouldn't have happened. Guys need to be protective more. We'd be talking that. We'd be talking those tunes. And now I'd rather be talking the tune that we're talking now than that other tune, that sad tune, God forbid, if something would have happened to anybody on that field. So the number to call, we want to get your thoughts on that particular situation. How do you feel? Was it excessive? Did the police step overboard by tasing the young fan? Let's get your thoughts on that. The number to call, 1-646-727-3070, 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show on blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show. Go for it under the category of sports. And, again, you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. So what do you think? Do you think what the police did that day, was it excessive? Should they have done something else? Should they have just tried to tackle the guy the way it usually happens? Or what should they have done? So we want to get your thoughts on that. Also, DeSean Jackson, Donovan McNabb, got some news there, according to article in the Sporting News. DeSean Jackson was quoted as saying that I don't think we lost anything, even with McNabb being gone. So he's basically saying that in a lot of ways with Cobb here, things are fine. And we don't need Donovan pretty much. And Kevin is going to be the guy here. And, okay, I mean, I read those comments and I look at Deshaun's stats. I see in two NFL seasons, over 2,000 yards receiving, 11 touchdowns, 9 of them which were thrown by Donovan. So my thing to you, Deshaun, is be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for. And Donovan, he took
the high road. You know what? Now that's something that I see what you're saying, but I think as this Eagle offense has to find some leadership, and it's a very young offense. I mean, one of the more veteran weapons on this team is DeSean Jackson. And I think for a team that is trying to build the confidence of a young quarterback. If you look at what he says, I mean, was what he said, I mean, damning or damaging to McNabb? He just tries to basically say that, in his opinion, you know, they're not going to lose much without McNabb. Because, and hey, if you look at what Andy Reid builds, which is the system, and then it's a quarterback system, then was what he said that far off? Somebody has to come out and support Cobb.
Let me ask you a question. Do they lose much with Donovan being gone and Kevin stepping in? Do they lose anything?
I'm just asking
a general question. Do you think, he said, I don't think we lost anything. This is what Deshaun said. I don't think we lost anything.
Today he cleaned it up, he was reiterating the confidence in Kevin Cobb, and you look at the writers having to sell newspapers and Philly.com and ESPN.com having to sell advertising on their websites, taking what he says and twisting the meaning of what he said. And you know, he tries to come out and make that very well known, that it wasn't a derogatory statement against Donovan as much as he's trying to praise Kevin Cobb. And are the Eagles' offense going to lose anything? Well, I think what Deshaun Jackson was trying to say, perhaps whatever they lost, it's going to be made up for in youth, and the fact that, you know, he believes that Kevin Cobb, Donovan McNabb had to be a rookie or a second-year player at one point in his career, Paul. So why can't Kevin Cobb, you know, follow in the same footsteps? And I think
Let me ask you a question. Who was Donovan replacing at the time when he stepped up?
I think it was Rodney Pete, or the era of the non-quarterbacks.
Doug Peterson.
The Peterson Ty Detmer era. But Paul. But who in the Eagles offense is going to have, at some point, aren't they going to have to stand behind their quarterback, Rhodes, you know, that's got to be their quarterback.
Well, you do have to stand behind your quarterback at some point, and you do have to support your quarterback, but you have to throw stones in a lot of ways.
It's not throwing a stone. You know, it can be perceived as throwing a stone if you're selling newspapers and you're trying to sell advertising space. But it can also be the fact that, and you know what, Paul, I'll tell you this. Even if you are throwing stones, bottom line is, A, this is a business, and somebody out there, to keep the Eagles relevant, because a lot of a lot of people are recognizing now that this was a difficult move. This puts the Eagles again in the spotlight, and it wasn't a bad thing for people now to take a look at this again with a more critical eye and say, hey, you know what? Andy Reid does have an offensive system, and if Cobb can come in and play well, maybe what he said wasn't that far off.
Well, I guess judging by the two games that we saw, maybe what he's saying is not off. Well, far off, but it's only two games, and I've said that before, and I'll reiterate that it was only two games. And to me, Deshaun, he got the bulk of his touchdowns and his receiving yards from Donovan McNabb. And, you know, I understand that in a lot of ways you want to support your quarterback, and a lot of ways you want to back your quarterback. But my thing is this, when you're finally the guy, and you're the man where all the bullets are coming at you, and you're not just stepping in for somebody, but no, you're the guy. Everybody's shooting for you. It's a whole different animal, and it's a whole different ball game.
And I think if you're Kevin Cobb, you have to feel, you know, at least happy that somebody is publicly now kind of replacing you as the new quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles in the media's eyes. And as I say, this was probably a difficult thing, I think, even for Deshaun Jackson to come out and move. This is a new era now. Whether we like it or not, it's the Kevin Cobb era. And for, I think, the players not to stand behind the new quarterback, it's going to be a problem. And I think it was a good move. It happened 2-3 weeks after, or about a month after the trade. It wasn't right after the trade. If you look about what he does, you can see, you know, this is the standard operating procedure of the new NFL, where you're here today, going tomorrow. And the new quarterback that's here today is Kevin Cobb.
Without a doubt. I mean, at some point, you do have to turn the page. And that goes for everybody. In life, you're going to have to turn the page. But, I mean, it's kind of rehashing something we talked about my support for Donovan and wanting to keep Donovan. I just don't think now was the time. I think Donovan still has 2 to 3 good years of football left. I think he has a lot of good football left. And so, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, we'll see if the Eagles didn't lose anything. We'll see if they don't lose.
But regardless of what happens, Paul, this was the right move. Regardless
only time will be the judge of that. And you got to also keep in mind they did trade him within the division. So now you're going to see this guy two times. They didn't trade him far away. And I said it before, maybe it has Andy and the crew know something that we don't know about Donovan. Maybe they know something. I don't know. But I just think with a Mike Shanahan and a Donovan McNabb upgrades in both the quarterback and the coaching position in Washington, who knows? Who knows? And especially in today's NFL, you don't know. I mean, teams can go from 4-12, they can go from last to first, from worst to first, and so we'll see what happens. But I like the addition of Donovan McNabb for the Washington Redskins, and I think the Eagles did lose something. I think they lost something,
no one is saying that you, me, we're not allowed to have our opinions if the Eagles lost something. I mean, I guess my question to you is, isn't this the right move for one of the veteran offensive players, and not just players, but weapons of this new Eagles offense? I mean, isn't this the right move to make people, and especially the fans, the media, aware of the confidence that he has in his new quarterback? I mean, what do you want him to say? Paul, what do you want him to say? Do you want him to come out like you and still a month later be crying about Donovan McNabb and that, you know, the Eagles shouldn't have traded him? Is that what one of the top offensive weapons on this team should have done?
Say McNabb, everybody. Yes, I mean, I see what you're saying.
See, I mean, but if you need a tissue, look, we know you're scared, you know, in the immortal words of Howard Eskin, you have the dog. I mean, but really, Paul, isn't it time for you to give this up? I mean, you want the callers to come on and cry for McNabb. You're still singing a song that it's like we need to have Casey Kasem in here. We're not taking 1981's top 40 today. Let's move on.
Well, in a lot of ways, we do have to move on. I agree with you. But, you know, when guys make certain comments, we do have to talk about it. And I do have to give my opinion on how I feel. And
but the way you feel, Paul, it's soft and mushy. But Paul, look,
it's not mushy.
It's quite mushy. You know, the term fifi is coming to mind.
It's a belief that an individual and a guy still has a lot of good football left in him.
And I'm sure Redskins will get all that, but, Paul,
at whose expense? At whose expense?
At whose expense? I guess it'll be at Dan Slater's expense, since he's paying $11 million this year for a guy that won nothing.
What did he win?
For all of the singing you've done for McNabb, what did he win for you?
He won you, Jack.
The same thing Randall won. He won you the same thing Doug Peterson won you. Wasn't it true, Paul? I mean, Doug Peterson and Don McNabb won you the same thing. Nothing.
Well, have you been to the Super Bowl before 2004? When was the last time you've been?
You know what? I don't care that I got to the Super Bowl. The last time I checked, I just want to win.
That was about 24 years ago.
Yeah, I'm pretty well aware of that.
Before Donovan came in, what were the Eagles, about 3-13, Ray Rose's last
year?
Yeah,
they were the same place they were the year they went to the Super Bowl. Losers.
Ray Rose,
are you still crying, Paul? How many more tissues are left in this box? We know that you probably got the jumbo pack, you know, at the Walmart. How many more times, weeks are you and I going to have to talk about?
McNabb, everybody. Say McNabb, everybody. I mean, that's how I feel. That's how I feel.
Well, I think, you know, at some point, Paul, you and I, we're going to have to hug this out because it's not going to be every week that we're going to play that clip of you. First of all, it's just the sound of that is hurting the ears. And second of all, it's time to, instead of say McNabb, welcome Cobb. Maybe I'm going to have to get in the studio this week and record my welcome Cobb.
Well, maybe you need to. Maybe it's time for you to welcome Cobb. I guess at some point you do have to get on with your life. And you can't hold on to the past because it's just not worth it. It's useless. But, I do believe that Donovan McNabb has a lot of good football left in that body. And there's a lot of touchdowns left in that arm. Unfortunately, it's going to be the Santana Moss instead of DeSean Jackson. Unfortunately, it's going to be the Chris Cooley instead of Brent Celek. Unfortunately, it will be to Clint Borders instead of LeSean McCoy. Unfortunately.
For who?
Unfortunately. But it's life. And you're right, we do have to move on. But we want to get your thoughts. What do you think about DeSean Jackson's comments? Do the Eagles lose anything with Cobb at the helm? Do they lose anything? Let's get your thoughts on that. The number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show. Go for it under the category of sports. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gann@gmail.com. That's goforit.gann@gmail.com. Also, interesting story coming out of Houston that our linebacker Brian Cushing, who was recently suspended for taking a banned substance, a performance-enhancing drug. Cushing, who was the Rookie of the Year and was voted by the AP as the Rookie of the Year, apparently he failed his test back in September. And now the AP, the Associated Press, who voted on this award, they're looking to revote because of this situation. So, I mean, it's very interesting to see what happens there. But, I mean, I'm one who believes they shouldn't revote. What is done is done. Whether he played on something or without something, he did. He handled his business and he did what he had to do on the football field and he earned that award. I don't think they should revoke.
I couldn't agree more. It's unfortunate. We see a lot of these players that are in the last 2-3 years with the ever increasing list of the banned substance list. It's like almost a full time job to keep up with what's a new banned substance and not a banned substance. And furthermore, it certainly wasn't, you know, a steroid or, an enhancement type. It seems to be, their reports are saying it's more of another one of these supplements. And I think
it's saying here it's a non-steroid banned substance.
Right. And this is the ever watchful eye of the new commissioner. And is, it's the new NFL, really. And you and I talk about this a lot, though, Paul. You know, they are really trying to make these players accountable more off the field than on the field. They want a certain model player, and they really seem to be driving home, especially with this new example, that, you know, you're going to play by our rules. And if not, we're going to do everything in our power to not make it fun for you to be employed under our auspices. Now, there's a vocabulary word, by the way.
It's an SAT word for sure.
SAT.
Keep it up. But I mean, it's to me, it's almost like putting asterisks on records. when guys like Bonds or McGuire and those guys who took steroids or allegedly took steroids during what many have called the steroid era. I don't think they should in that respect do this to Cushing. I mean, granted, he did take an illegal supplement of some sort, but, you know, the guy, it's hard just to say whether he wouldn't have got it with or without it. I mean, who knows? And what's done is done. And let the guy keep the award, and let's just kind of move on from that. And just like guys like Barry Bonds and stuff, I mean, I can grant it, allegedly they may have been on or have taken some performance-enhancing drugs. But at the same time, during that time, everybody else was. I mean, a lot of people allegedly were taking it at the time. So if he's dirty, then everybody, a lot of people in the league were dirty. I guess the field is even because everybody was dirty. It's just he was the best of the dirty in some respect. Guys like Bonds and McGuire were the best of the dirty. So my thing is, it is what it is. It is what it is, quite frankly.
Well, we're certainly, like you said, it's a league now where, you know, maybe Chad Ochocinco was right. It's a no-fun league, and, I mean, they really seem to be doing their best to, I think, hire the players to a degree. Long term, I'd like to see how the players feel about playing in a league where it's not so fun, or if you make a mistake, you're suspended, and we're going to take awards away from you. We're going to look for bonuses, and you know, I even look at, we talk about what's happening with Cushing, but even look at, you know, Jamarcus Russell, where, I mean, the guy's being vilified for not projecting out to be a great player, and was he worth all that money? Well, then they shouldn't have paid it. Far too long, the NFL has not had a cap on rookie salaries. Put a cap on the rookie salaries, and you're not going to have to worry about what happens.
Well, yeah, and then all teams have, like, what they say is a rookie pool in terms of money they can spend, but like you said, there's not, like, a cap, so to speak, on salaries for rookies, and, you know, Jamarcus Russell just, I mean,
to me, Paul, but that, how do you blame an athlete that's guaranteed, before they ever start their career, X number of dollars, no matter what you do, and the guy tries his best, and even if he didn't try his best as much as some people are saying, and then you go back to, well, then there's a guy like Pac-Man Jones who comes into the league and is a better player and has a great year, but he's shooting people up in the club, and, you know, so how do you win?
Pac-Man did not shoot anybody.
Well, his associates and so on and so forth, but
continue.
In any event, in this league, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I mean, I wonder, like, for a guy like Jamarcus Russell, one in every so many thousand people in this country are going to have cancer. One in so many hundred people are going to have, they're going to die of a heart attack. One in so many players in the NFL are going to be duds. So he was a dud. And, I mean, why are we worried about where he's going to land next? Did he deserve the money? Or was he even worthy of all this? The Raiders picked him, and, you know, and they paid him, just any different than the Chargers paid Ryan Leaf, and so on and so forth. Tim Couch, and there's myriad players. You go back even to Brian.
It's a tough situation there, in terms of when you're selecting a player, and a lot of ways you don't know what you're going to get. You can project the best way you can. I mean, that's...
Well, because last week, Paul, you wanted to ask me, you know, you're telling me it's okay to ask players any questions you want to know. You want to know when they lost their virginity. Now, I guess, are we going to put a clause in their contract that if you're not as good as we projected you, we want some money back?
Well, I mean, no. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, Jamarcus got... what Jamarcus wanted, and he got his money, got paid. He stunk. He wasn't good. He obviously was a bad quarterback, but he got paid, and I'm not mad at him for that. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, he did what he had to do on the college level to get paid, and now he's enjoying the fruits of his labor on the college level, and he's got paid about close to, what, $39 million.
Right. We hear this week, you know, Albert Haynesworth, we heard today, yesterday, Albert Haynesworth is a bum and the Redskins are, you know, down on his play. Well, then you should have guaranteed him $40 million. I mean, it gets to a point where I'm just tired of we don't really get tired of the off-the-field issues, but it's not okay for these athletes to have all this guaranteed money in all the sports, and they're not projecting,
well,
but you wonder...
If any sport should have guaranteed money, it should be football.
No sport should have guaranteed money until my job has guaranteed money. I want my job,
well,
and I want your job.
Unfortunately, you're not an athlete, a special athlete who can command or demand that type of money and who can entertain millions. You don't have that type of talent. I don't have that type of talent.
I think I do, Paul. Okay. I'm entertaining millions right now. My money isn't guaranteed.
Well, you are entertaining millions, but, again, you're not entertaining the type of millions that Albert Haynesworth is, that Jamarcus Russell is,
no.
That is Donovan McNabb.
But when are we going to stop? Then we need to stop crying about.
This is not talking about player salary time. I mean, these guys, whatever. We all say that firemen should get paid more, police officers should get paid more, so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, I mean, they don't have the special type of talent that these guys have. And
you're right, Paul.
Teachers
don't have special talents. They're just educating the youth of America. Albert Haynesworth can run over a guy, and Jamarcus Russell could have thrown a ball. I guess you're right. Throwing a ball is a more special talent than educating the youth in this country. Silly me.
Well, can you throw a ball 100 yards? There's a lot more people that can educate children than that can throw the ball 60, 70 yards.
So you're saying throwing a ball 67 yards is such an incredible talent, it's worth guaranteed $40 million, and if you're Albert Haynesworth and you could just basically ball over a person, it's worth $100 million.
Is that what the market if the market commands it, then so be it. If the market commands that, then so be it.
I mean, that's where
the problem
I will
needs to be with the fans who are buying the tickets to the games. That should be your problem. That seems like you have a problem with. Or for the advertisers who are paying the money to advertise their product during the game. That's the people you should have a problem with. Because those are the people who are essentially paying the salaries.
Oh, and Paul, I'm extremely critical of the same people who, you know, want their they talk about how their children need a better education system. But they don't recognize that, you know, the $20,000 a year they're spending on four season tickets to the Eagles, is that going to get your child better education? No.
And
you just pass it along to the listeners out there, 4-0 Flyers. Go Fly, boys.
Last I checked, the Flyers are up 3-0.
It's 4-0 final. Just bringing it out there. I know you're concerned. Flyers NHL playoffs. We all know how much Paul Gamble loves the NHL playoffs.
Well, congratulations to the Philadelphia Flyers. Now, series is now 3-2. Can they do it? Can they come back from 3-0? Can they come back from a 3-0 deficit?
I guess the question is, Paul, do you care?
Sure. I mean, give the Flyers a lot of credit. Brian Boucher and those boys, hasn't had a great series here. But did have a great first series. Michael Leighton came off the bench for the Flyers and he made 14 saves and combined with Brian Boucher got the shutout for the Flyers.
Go Flyers.
Fly guys a lot of credit.
Go Fly. That's all we have time for the NHL and the Flyers.
You don't want to devote any more time to the Flyers?
No, you know, let's keep it moving.
All right, the number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show Go For It under the category of sports. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. And we have an email here. This is Michelle from Manioc. Michelle writes, How can you guys say that it's okay for individuals to get tasered when they run onto the field? How can you guys say such a thing? It is wrong. It's excessive force. And as far as I'm concerned, that individual who ran on the field was not a threat to anyone. Well, Michelle, we thank you for your emails and continue to email the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Jeremy, what do you think?
Well, I'm gonna ask you let's move right on to the NBA playoffs, because I mean it's fans like that, listeners like that, that to think that you're not gonna get tasered when you run on the field is, I guess I hope that, you know, Michelle, when she's in her car and maybe getting carjacked, we don't tase that guy either, because he may not have been carjacking her, he just may have liked her eyeshadow.
Show and Go For It does not endorse people getting carjacked and whatnot. But Michelle, it's very simple, Michelle. Once you cross those lines, what happens to you is what happens to you. Whether you get tasered, tackled, punch, kicked, arrested, so on and so forth. That's what happens, Michelle, when you cross those lines. And so, Michelle, he got what he deserved, and he's lucky it was only just a taser. But you wanted to go to the NBA playoffs, so we can head on to the NBA playoffs. We're two games tonight. We have Orlando and Atlanta. That's going on right now. Orlando's up 10 in the third quarter. They lead the series 3-0. It's been essentially a dominating performance by the Orlando Magic. And Atlanta lost by 43 in game one. Lost game two by 14, and then they lost game three by 30 points. So they really have not shown up in this series. And so with all that being said, it's more than likely the series is over tonight.
Oh, there's two series that are going to end tonight, Paul. Two series are going to end tonight, and then, you know, I hate to say I told you so, but, you know, you talked for weeks about how the Cleveland Cavaliers and Shaquille O'Neal and Jameson, and if they have their hands full with Boston, how are they going to handle the juggernaut that has been Orlando in the East?
Is this a byproduct of just matchups? I mean, because Orlando dominated Atlanta in the regular season.
But Orlando is dominating. But they're dominating.
If you look at the regular season matchups, the Magic beat Atlanta by 17 in one game. Beat them by 19, 32 points in another game. Beat them by.
And they should have. They matched up,
game.
But Paul, they match up well.
And
not
by 2 in one game. And that was because of a Josh Smith tip-in at the buzzer. So if you look at that, they dominated them in the regular season. So this is not surprising. I mean, Atlanta has nobody to match up with Dwight Howard. He's a beast. He's a monster. And you got all these guys like Jameer Nelson who's stepping up in the playoffs here, and Rashard Lewis who's stepping up in the playoffs. I mean, they got guys who can just shoot that three ball at will. And they've been dominant in this series. And this series will end tonight. But what you were saying, I mean, Boston is a team that they're going to fight. and you're not just going to push over a team like led by Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen and Paul Pierce. There's a lot of talent there. Cleveland will win out, and I think Cleveland, but Cleveland does have a tougher matchup here with Boston. But overall, I think Cleveland.
Well, you say that. I caution you, Paul, because
Cleveland will get it done in six, like I said. I mean, it took an amazing performance by Rondo for Boston to win yesterday. I mean, just a historic performance, actually, by a six-one point guard, basically, with 29 points, 18 boards, 13 assists. I mean, what point guard gets 18 boards other than, like, a Magic Johnson? I mean, that was just an amazing game.
But Paul, and that's okay. It was an amazing game. Rondo didn't play well, and this, that, and the other, and I hear what you're saying, but I guess the question I have for you is, I mean, but Cleveland has really had their hands full in the first four games with this. So where do you project them fighting?
Oh, Cleveland did get a blowout. They did get a blowout on Friday night against them.
They haven't blown it, but Paul, they haven't been able to do it. And not just that, now you have Orlando team, a very healthy Orlando team that's now going to even get healthier, rest more, practice more, and you have a hurt LeBron James who's just going to get banged up more and beat up more.
Well, I mean, LeBron James is LeBron James, and he's an MVP two times in a row for a reason. You got to understand something. I mean, when Boston won their title two seasons ago, Cleveland took them to seven games in the second round of the playoffs. Now, I mean, Cleveland does not have the same type of talent that they have then. They have more talent, better talent. But Boston, this is a championship team, and a lot of guys, the guys who were part of that championship team, are part of this team today. So don't.
I'm not Paul. I'm
not
a Warrior. I'm not looking at the.
Paul Pierce,
right now,
these guys are Warriors, man. You didn't expect Cleveland to sweep them, did you?
No, of course. I told you, but I've been telling you for weeks, Paul. Don't let this Cleveland, the NBA advertising juggernaut that is LeBron James fool you. I mean, LeBron James is a great player, but he's really not surrounded by a great team. I mean, it's a great cast, supporting cast. They're going to always do well in the regular season. When it gets time to the playoffs, they don't have that center that they're going to need to be dominant against Dwight Howard.
You just need a guy who can limit Dwight Howard, and Shaq is that guy. I think he will limit Dwight Howard. I mean, right now this is just the playoffs right now, or a lot of you got to the Suns who just swept the Spurs. You got the Lakers who are up 3-0. You got Orlando who's up 3-0 and probably will end the series tonight. So,
but Paul,
I
told you 5-6 weeks ago.
Had Cleveland been smart enough to go out there and finish their season and get Stoudemire from the Suns, they would have basically put the championship on lock because no one would have beaten that team. Instead, they stayed themselves with Shaquille O'Neal in the middle, who had a great career, but he's not going to have anything memorable with the Cleveland Cavaliers at all except another $20 million in his bank account. He's collecting a paycheck.
Well, I think the addition of Jamison is a guy who can match up better for them against a Rashard Lewis. Basically, the addition of Shaq, the addition of Antoine Jamison, was to match up against Orlando. And Boston, they'll get by Boston. I predicted that Cleveland will win in six, a hard-fought six-game series, and they'll do that. They'll do that. They'll win tomorrow, and they'll win again in Boston, and then we'll talk about what's going to happen between them and Orlando, and it's a series that I can't wait. I can't wait for it because it's a rematch of last year's Eastern Conference Finals, and Cleveland has done all these moves just to beat Orlando. So we'll see if the moves that they have made are good enough to get them over the top. And then if you're Cleveland, if you don't get over the top, do you lose LeBron at that point? Does that send LeBron to New York or Brooklyn with the Nets or wherever, Chicago. I mean, we'll see how that plays out. I expect LeBron to stay in Cleveland, but you never know.
No, and I think in this year, in this immediate year too, it's going to be a difficult task. As I keep telling you, it's going to be a difficult task for Cleveland when they come up short in, again, the semifinals, because it's Orlando in five or six games against anybody that they're going to face.
Let's not be fooled by other performance against the Atlanta Hawks. Impressive, yes, but it's not.
Paul, it's not just impressive.
Atlanta had a better record than Boston, but who would you rather face in a playoff series, the Boston Celtics or the Atlanta Hawks?
My point is,
don't get so excited over sweeps over Charlotte Bobcats team and possible sweep over the Atlanta Hawks. Don't get too excited over that because Cleveland essentially did the same thing last year.
I want to get excited. Can I get excited?
No, I'm telling you, don't get excited.
So you're not going to let me get excited?
Just like a dog, sometimes you got to just pet him down, tell him to relax, tell him easy, and you need to relax.
All you're telling me is I got to get in the studio next week, because if you could say McNabb, I can get excited.
Well, and I'm going to try to say McNabb, but apparently my efforts didn't work.
I'm high on this Orlando team. I'm high on this Orlando team, and that has worked. Let's look at the comparison.
You act like a schoolgirl who has a crush on a boy,
You know what? In 2010, is there anything wrong? Is there
over sweeps over the Charlotte Bobcats and the
in 2010? Is there anything wrong with me having a crush on a boy if I'm a young schoolgirl? No. And Orlando is certainly a sexy.
You're a man, so it's time for you to man up, toughen up, and stop foaming at the mouth when talking about the Orlando Magic. I mean, you're sweeping the Atlanta Hawks and the Charlotte Bobcats. Talk to me when you face the Cleveland Cavaliers in that Eastern Conference Finals. Then we're going to talk. We're going to talk. If you do what you got to do there, then we can talk. And then I'll foam at the mouth with you, and I'll act like a schoolgirl with you, and I'll have the crush as well. So we'll be fighting over the Orlando Magic. We can do that together if they do what they have to do against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I know Cleveland has not beaten Boston yet, but it's a done deal. Cleveland will win in six. I predicted it earlier. Mark my words. Write it down. Do what you got to do. Cleveland will beat Boston in six, and Cleveland will face the Orlando Magic in the Eastern Conference Finals. And Cleveland will get to the NBA Finals, and Cleveland will win the NBA Finals, and LeBron James will have champagne all over his head, and he will be fitted for his first ring.
And when he doesn't, are you writing songs about that?
I mean, let's keep it real, Paul. You and what you want to happen and what reality plans for is two different things.
It's not what I want to happen, what I believe will happen, and what I think will happen. I mean, my team is the Philadelphia 76ers. That's the team I want to see win championships, win titles. And speaking of which, they've been interviewing a few candidates, Bill Laimbeer, Sam Mitchell I saw, Monty Williams. I mean, they're interviewing a bunch of people, Dan Marley, Thunder Dan. They're interviewing a lot of people for the job. We'll see what happens. I hope they have to make some kind of splash with this coaching, whoever they pick. There's just no juice with the Philadelphia 76ers. And you want to see that franchise get back to its prominence, those days of AI and where you see an AI and you see the building filled. And you see good times there at the Wachovia, the Wachovia Center. Yes, I had it right. But we've got about 30 seconds left in the show. We want to thank everybody who's called, everybody who's listened, everybody who's emailed the show. Continue to listen. Continue to support the show. You can listen to the show again at blogtalkradio.com. Look for the show Go For It under the category of sports. And we just thank you for joining the show today. Jeremy, any final thoughts? You got about 15 seconds left.
Kick off Kevin Cobb. That's my song. I'm in the studio next week, listeners.
Well, get your show ready. Get your stuff ready and stop foaming at the mouth about the Orlando Magic. See you next week, everybody. Bye. Hello?
Hello? Paul?
Yes.
All right. Your voice all right? Can you make it through it?
I made it through.